one person clapped. Welcome to Muscle Science for Women. I'm one of your hosts. And there's the other one.
I'm your other host.
We're both here. We both made it. Welcome. Here we are again. We have a new podcast post-production person, and they asked us to clap like real professionals at the beginning. Don't know if you heard that. If you didn't, it's our new thing, and we're really excited about it. Okay. It's been
a little while. You're not going to hear it, but...
You might.
You might hear it, but also we just like look like fools on the video right now. We're like, three, two, one, clap.
When don't we look like
fools? Lila looked up at me like, what are you doing?
Also, can I tell you that I have had people respond saying that they like our weird, goofy banter at the beginning where we always don't know what we're saying and we seem like we're recording for the first time ever, every single time. People like that. So maybe we'll keep it in anyway.
It's not like we do it on purpose.
Yeah, it's just who we are and we're super smart and sorted out. All right. Well,
can we just say one thing? Also, my mom told me the other day, and I told you this, she was like, she's like, I haven't talked to you in a while, but I've been listening to all your podcasts. I feel like I like am like with you in life, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, and Ashley is so amazing. You're like, okay, you're good, but Ashley is great. And I'm just like,
listen,
you know, mom, I agree with you, but thanks.
Thanks, mom. And listen, I appreciate it. I appreciate getting the love where I can get it. And I told you when you told me that Alex, my husband, listens to it and has the exact opposite feeling. He's like, yeah, you know, Rachel, she really knows what she's talking about. I'm like, mm-hmm, yep. What about me? He's like, yeah, anyway. But of course, that's the way it goes, right? He doesn't listen to, he's going to listen to this and give me a hard time. But it's like, it's the classic partner thing of I tell him something and then 6 months later, somebody else says it. And he's like, hey, I got this genius idea. And I'm like, Everyone listening probably is very familiar with that. Yeah. Anyway, beloved by moms everywhere, Muscle Science for Women. All right. What's going on? What's new with you?
New with me. So I went to Mexico last week for a wedding. Yeah.
That's right.
That was fun. San Miguel. It's like middle of nowhere, Mexico.
Okay.
Or not, sorry, middle of nowhere. Middle of Mexico.
Okay.
Middle of Mexico. It's apparently the safest, at least this is what I've heard, the safest city in Mexico because there are only like, I think, two ways to get in and out. And it is like, they've created more of like a touristy area, but not like super touristy. And so it's super safe and they want people to continue to come. So like they monitor it like a lot and they keep the boundaries, I guess, really secure.
Nice.
So it is kind of hard to get to. But from San Diego, we actually flew out of Tijuana because you can like cross the border right there. Flew out of Tijuana to Mexico City and then had to fly to another airport and then had to drive like an hour and a half. But because we went for a wedding, like they took care of all the driving and stuff. So it was fun. And it was, the place is like, obviously there's Mexican people there, but there are also a lot of white people, like white old people with their dogs. Like there's, it was very much a mix of like 50% that, 50% locals, all super nice, but very beautiful place. If you ever end up going there, it's like just a cute little place.
In my understanding, older white people love going to hot places and staying there. So
yeah.
Maybe that's in my future one day is I will. And I mean, I'm always talking about how I have all these opportunities to live in hot places. And here I am up north like a fool dealing with the snow. But, you know, here we are.
Before you go, I also just want to like tie this into the things that we always talk about. So when I went on that vacation, we stayed in an Airbnb with a bunch of people and it was for a wedding for like, we left on Tuesday, came back Sunday. And I went into it knowing that I wasn't going to lift one weight. I wasn't going to track one macro. And I just want to like bring this up because if you asked me to do this 3 or 4 years ago, I would have been searching for the closest hotel to like use their gym, paying probably like $100 a day to just go get like a 45 minute weightlifting session in and been like planning out meals and like bringing as much stuff with me as possible as I could. And again, there's a time and place for that. If you have a very specific goal, specific timeline, and you have a vacation that's happening within that timeline and you need to, you know, get those things in order, absolutely. I'm at maintenance right now. I am hanging out, lifting, having fun, eating all the food, eating a lot of food, actually, walking a lot. And so going into this, I was like, I'm going to go have fun in Mexico. I'm going to eat the tacos. You know, I did actually drink a little alcohol, which I haven't done in a while. Lots of tequila, not lots, but some tequila tastings, and walked a lot. Like, it was very hilly. So I made sure that I was like walking. I didn't do one push-up. I didn't lift one weight, none of that. And I came back and I still had all my muscle.
And you didn't lose all your muscles?
I didn't lose all my muscle. And I also didn't gain any weight. Even though you can't really tell, another thing, like right when you come back from vacation and you step on the scale, the weight on the scale does not reflect anything about that vacation, right? That's not how it works. But over time, like, because it was two weeks ago, I'm steadying out and still where I was before I left in terms of body composition. I did get really sore on my leg day the first time I came back because I hadn't trained legs in like 10 days. So that's something just to be aware of. Like, just don't push too hard, especially with quads, because they are, they're very prone. Like, if you take 2 weeks off, prone to feel some muscle damage there. And then like, I couldn't train legs again for like 5 days. And this has happened multiple times. I think we already talked about this. So I really just need to like, listen to my own advice. Right. Anyways,
yeah, it would be good if we all did that, but yeah. Sometimes we don't. It's fine.
Enough about me. What's new with you?
I love that you went to Mexico and presumably ate a lot of tacos and had a good time, because that's what you got to do sometimes. And I really do think there is something to be said for, like, I think one of the things that people have a really hard time doing is like taking a complete break and being mindful about it. You know, it's easy to say like, well, I'm going on vacation, so I'm going to like take it easy. But your brain is still sort of half thinking you should be doing more. And so you're kind of thinking about the food, but you're not actually tracking it. And you're kind of thinking about working out. You might do some like half-ass kind of workout that you might as well have just done nothing. And you don't really come back feeling completely like refreshed and ready to dive back in with inspiration, you know? Whereas if you can really like, really just say, this is my week long break and I'm actually going to take it, you're probably going to come back feeling like even more ready to like get back to the gym and like get back on your diet or whatever, you know? Yeah. Like, and I'm speaking from experience, because I'm like that too. I'm like, well, I'm not going to go 100%, or I'm not going to stick to whatever it is I have been doing because I want to take a break. But you're not fully allowing yourself to take the break. You're only sort of taking it. And when you only sort of take it, you know, it's just not the same. So I feel like sometimes just being able to take, like, and to your point, you know, if you have some big goal or whatever and you really can't afford it, but like, you're just living your life and you're going on vacation, like, maybe that's a cool exercise, is to be fully on vacation for a week and just see how that feels.
Yeah. But I also just want to say something too, because, and then I'll let you go and talk about you. But
you sound like Kanye West. You're like, I'm just going to jump right in.
I need to say this because I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. I am still very mindful, like, of certain things, but I think this is inherently, like, now in, and you are too, like, even though you don't think about it, like, you're like, okay, like, am I eating enough protein? Like, am I getting some protein in? Like, you know, am I walking, right? Am I moving a little bit, right? That's in the back of your head, and that's just now inherent in your lifestyle because you've created that lifestyle, right? And so that's what we're talking about too. Like, you can absolutely let go and, you know, not think about all this stuff, but because you've been doing this for so long and you've created that routine, it's now in you that you're like, oh, I probably should eat some protein today, right? I probably should just at least maybe like get off the couch or the pool, but I'm not like actively like maybe tracking my steps, right? I'm just, it's there. And so that's just one thing too. And I said, I don't want to be a hypocrite, because all my stories, like while I was there, I was posting, oh, I'm going to be eating lots of tacos, like more carbs and fats at night. So I'm going to make sure I get, you know, some protein in, a lot of protein at breakfast, right? And that's just like, I'm still having choices that I enjoy, but I'm making sure that I have still that balance that I know will make me feel good about everything, right? Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make sure I said that too, because I think it just comes with time as you're, as you learn how to let go, you actually mm-hmm. are able to feel more freedom and control in that. That mm-hmm. makes sense. Like control is freedom in some sense.
Yeah. I mean, sense? I think some of the things running on autopilot are, like yes, you said, autopilot. it's the benefit of trying to make the best decisions most of the time for most of your life. That's when things run on autopilot. When you've been yeah. trying to pretty much eat protein with every meal, make sure you move every day, you know, stay hydrated if you're in the heat or having a drink, like those kinds of things that some people really have to think about or really don't do when they're on vacation. Those are the things that, you know, a healthy person who's on the ball is going to be doing on autopilot. But it's that second level actively thinking about how many calories did I eat today? Like, did I walk enough to make up for those extra talk? Like, that's the stuff that yeah, once you, exactly. like you said, you're on the ball and you're used to it. You can kind of let that go for a bit because you know the science, you know your body, you know how physiology works, and you know that a week of vacation is fine and doesn't mean anything bad in the long term. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah.
No, I think this is a good conversation too with the summer coming up. And I want to say one other thing, but I'm going to stop because I keep talking a lot.
You can talk as much as you want, okay? This is our podcast and I'm cool to
I want to say something related to the scale okay. coming back from a trip or vacation, because I do have, and I've actually seen this like in my membership group and like comments on social media where people are like, they come back from a vacation and they step on the scale and they're like, yes, I didn't gain any weight, right? And so they're like really proud of that. And maybe that's the first day they come back and they step on the scale or second day. And so for me, I'm like, okay, but like, no, because that doesn't mean anything. For me, if I lose weight on vacation, like if I come back and step on the scale, which I don't do anymore because I know it doesn't matter, I wait at least a week before I start to get my data back, because I know that if I went on vacation and I didn't lift any weights for like a 10-day period, I know that I've lost some glycogen, muscle glycogen and water in my muscles, right? Especially lower body. And so that's going to show up on the scale too, right? Or vice versa, if I, you know, ate way more carbs than usual, I probably am holding on to some more water weight than usual, right? And so like all these different factors, or I ate out for every meal, especially Mexico, maybe I had more salt in all those foods than I'm used to, so I'm now also holding on to a little bit more water weight, or from traveling in the plane. Like there's so many different reasons, right? You're on the plane, things are changing, blah, 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 blah. So I just want to make this statement, because if you're someone who comes back from vacation or comes back from a week away and or a few days away, fine, but like a week plus, and you come back and you step on the scale and you're like, yes, that was a successful vacation because the scale didn't move. Or no, that was not a successful vacation because the scale went up. That is absolutely the wrong way to look at that data. And so I just want to put that out there. The simplest thing to do is do not step on the scale when you get back from a vacation. Wait at least a week when you're back in your normal routine, when you've gotten back into the groove of it, and then you can start to use the scale again for the trends over time if you would like. Not that you have to, but if you would like. So I just want to say that because it's something that pisses me off a little bit. And now I'm going to really be quiet.
Rachel's got some feelings about the scale. My thought would be, what on earth would compel a person to step on a scale anytime after a vacation? I honestly, the only time I have gotten on a scale since I have been like newly postpartum is when I've done these like every once in a while with you or whatever, like yeah. I can take 3 months and try to like lose 5 pounds. Like literally that's the only time. And even then I barely wanted to. I was like, ugh, bleh, boo, stupid. I much prefer to just look at myself and be like, oh, I look better. Oh, you know, I look a little bit like leaner. Oh, my, you know, whatever, looks a little bit better with no clothes on. This is good. I'm so far out of that zone. Like, I understand the idea of data, and I even understand for people who aren't triggered by their weight, because like I've gotten to a point where it doesn't really bother me that much. Like, obviously there are numbers I'd prefer to see over other numbers, but even if I see the less optimal numbers, it's not really going to like ruin my day. And I still am just like, I just don't see the benefit for most people most of the time. It's not even good data for most people. Yeah. Who cares?
Absolutely.
Who cares? What do you look like? How do you fit in your clothes? How do you feel? And even measurements, if that makes you feel good, because it's whatever. Mm-hmm. But scales are stupid and dumb. Okay, let's talk about some other things. Let's talk about, real quick, our ongoing work on our new workshop, our Strong and Sculpted Shoulders, that is coming out quite soon. When this episode comes out, it'll be like a couple weeks away, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's been really fun, and I'm really excited about it, because I got to say, like, glutes, which is what was our first program, it's still available, still good, obviously. And it is... that program, putting together that program, changed my programming pretty significantly. And I really obviously liked it. And it's really given me like more appreciation for like lower body stuff. Cause you guys all know I talk about it all the time. I prefer an upper body workout, but shoulders makes me really excited because that's what I like. Love. I just love some shoulders. I love shoulders. Yeah. I love working shoulders. I love what strong shoulders look like on people. I think it's so great. And I've been seeing recently, if I was a little bit younger or more energetic or had any patience whatsoever to do cute reels, like a fitness person, I would be responding to these reels. But instead, I just look at them and like get irritated and roll my eyes and scroll on. But have you seen, like, there's so many of them that are... it's basically showing some fitness girl, and she's talking about the difference between, like, she goes to the gym and she can like lift the same as a dude in like a leg press or like split squats. And she goes to do like a shoulder press and like can't lift anything. Like, it's basically kind of being cute about how like women have super strong lower bodies and like zero upper body strength. And I'm just like, it grinds my gears because we all know that our physiology is such that we have a much easier time. We have much relatively stronger lower bodies, right? And because that's trendy to have strong lower bodies, there are a lot of women out there that are stronger than dudes that can do really impressive lower body movements, right? But this whole like, oh, it's just cute to like have no muscle, you know, from the waist up and like not be able to do anything. And I'm just like, that's not, it doesn't have to be that way, right? And so that's part of the reason why we're doing what we're doing, because women, of course, can benefit a ton from having strong upper bodies, not only functionally and to make you feel good about yourself, but it also looks really impressive. And it's one of the most underrated aspects of improving and having a fit, toned looking body composition is having strong shoulders. And people do not get this at all, especially for women. All we think about is how can you have a small waist and how can you have like a big butt or like very, you know, shapely lower body. And it's like, you're missing out on so much by not thinking about upper body and specifically shoulders. So I'm just so pumped to be like working on this and to get this into women's hands. And I really hope that everyone is as excited about this one as they were about the glutes one, because I think it's going to be really useful for people. Anyway.
No, I agree. And I think, I mean, I worked on, before we started recording today, I was working on the program for like 3 hours, like straight. Cause I was just like, cause there's so much to shoulders that people don't realize. There's so many intricacies. There's so many shoulders are, an area that a lot of people have some issues with, if, you know, especially with just like aches and pains and little things that you can't really figure out. And so those are the things that we're also going to be going into. Ashley has, you know, we've talked about this before. There's also just so many different things that people don't know about training the different areas of the shoulder. And I'm just super excited, as you can see in my face, because like I love to nerd out about this stuff. And there's just so much that people don't know about the shoulders and how to train them effectively and with, you know, pain-free and to do it for a long time and all that stuff. And then with that, obviously, when you know how to now train your shoulders and all the different areas of it, that will create obviously strong arms, strong looking arms, mm-hmm. upper body, which we've talked about this before, actually creates the illusion of a smaller torso or waist when you have strong sculpted shoulders and arms. Mm-hmm. So we talked about that a lot before, but if you're neglecting training your shoulders and also understanding how to train the different areas of your shoulders, a lot of people are heavy on, especially, I'm just going to throw the guys out there, heavy on the front part, right? Your front delts, mm-hmm. because they do lots of pressing, overhead pressing, bench pressing, and mm-hmm. they neglect the lateral delts and the rear delts, which is like mm-hmm. part of your upper back-ish shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so those are kind of out of whack in terms of mm-hmm. the sculpting of your upper body. And also, you know, posture-wise, right? Mm-hmm. Are you leaning more forward? Are you having that round back? That means you're probably neglecting those rear delts, right? So we're going to talk all about that. I could go on and on and on about this, but I'm not going to because that's what the program's for.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, as you can tell.
Yeah. I really like that we are dedicating like a pretty significant part of this course to like working around or with or through pain and injury. Like we're not saying, hey, you got a messed up shoulder, like just grind through it until it stops hurting. Like, but because it is such as you said, it's such a common site of injury and imbalance and pain and impingement and all that stuff. Like, it's just a really, really common thing for people to be like, yeah, my shoulders are just a little wonky now. I can't really do what I used to, or it's kind of stopping me from doing like the upper body stuff that I want to do because I've got this thing with my shoulder. And fixing that is part of the program. It's part of having strong shoulders, is having mobile, healthy shoulders that work properly. So that is like a pretty significant part of what we're going to talk about, in addition to the actual biomechanics and what the muscles are and how they work and how they, you know, connect to the rest of the body and all that stuff. Again, I think that's what makes our programs so much better than everybody else's, because we could much quicker and easier just write up the program and say, here's the program, mm-hmm. go for it. But we want to like connect with people and teach them, because the more you know, the better you are. And the more you like what you're doing, and you can maybe pass that information on to other people who can learn. And so it's going to be good. And I'm very excited. It's getting me like excited to do more of that stuff again. Because mm-hmm. as you know, I was like taking some time off from shoulders specifically because it was hurting me, and I still do have some issues, but partly because of the work that we're doing on this program, and my own work, it's been better, and I've been able to do more, and I'm kind of experimenting with some of the stuff we're talking about in the program, and it's been helping, and it's really exciting to like get back into that stuff. So anyway, all that to say, when people listen to this, we have the link to either sign up, register, learn more about it, whatever. That's in the show notes. Mm-hmm. So get on it. And
it's just RG. I'll just say, if people don't know where to find the show notes, it's rgfit.com/shoulders. And it's just, that's my website. Obviously Ashley's website. Mm-hmm. It will all also be on that, ashleyvanhouten.com. We're still working on getting our Muscle Science for Women website in itself, you know, all there. So, mm-hmm. you know, stay tuned for that, but we're doing what we can do right now. So for more information too, and to sign up for either the waiting list, or unless it's live, to sign up for the actual program, it will be that link. And also that page will give you more info on like FAQs, you know, what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Deep dive into that. If you're like, okay, you told me about this, but now like what is actually happening in the program? Go mm-hmm. to that page and it will list it all. And I just interrupted Ashley again, so I am now the new Kanye.
You are the Kanye. You are, well, hopefully not, but you're the Kanye of interrupting this podcast. No, you're not. We're co-hosts.
I'm just really high energy today for some reason.
How much caffeine have you had?
A good amount. A good amount of caffeine.
A good amount.
Even with my third... Oh, never mind. You go.
It's funny. I don't mind this because normally I'm the chatty one who has to like try not to interrupt other people. So I am totally fine with, especially being interrupted by you, because you usually have something smarter than me to say. So I'll just be like, zip it. Go ahead, Rachel. Okay. Do you want me to talk about the results of my crazy Genova test? This has been weeks. And I actually, it's funny. I thought that it took a long time for them to give me my results back, but it was, I didn't get a notification that the results were ready. You just have to go and like check. Did this happen?
Oh, I might have gotten that notification because my email might have been on your test. Oops.
That's exactly what happened. You are the worst. My results were like sitting around anyway.
I was probably in Mexico.
Water under the bridge.
Eating tacos and tequila.
It's fine. So if you remember the last time I talked about, I did this test, it's the metabolomics test. So it's kind of like nutritional deficiencies, like, am I missing anything? Is everything kind of working right? And it was like a very involved test. I had to do, I had to get urine, blood, and spit samples. So it was like an entire, I was like, cancel my 2 o'clock. My entire day is spent like collecting body fluids. But anyway, it's fine. And the results came back and there were some kind of interesting things. So I'm just going to like go over some things. It's the important thing about this is if you are interested, you get so much information. Like it tells you essentially, it'll give you like green, yellow, red, right? For all these different results of like, you're doing great versus you might need to like pay attention to this, work on it versus you're in trouble. You need to like address this part. And so the results overview, it's sort of big topics like oxidative stress, mitochondrial dysfunction, toxic exposure, omega imbalance, methylation imbalance. And then it drills down from there. Like this results page is 15 pages long. So if you love to nerd out on stuff like this, you can have a field day. There's so much stuff. But just a couple of things that I kind of like picked out. Luckily for me, there was not really anything that showed in the red, like high need for support. There was nothing like, you haven't eaten a vegetable in 10 years, you're dying. So that's good. It did say, unsurprisingly, that I'm not low, but not high in plant-based antioxidants, which I was actually surprised because when it said like, oh, you're like doing okay. Like you're not like super good, but you're not like bad. I was like, okay. So maybe my 1 to 2 servings of vegetables a day is actually just fine. Thank you very much.
I don't
much.
Know why, but that just made me laugh so much the way that you just said that, like your facial expression.
It's because I'm so sassy about it because especially again, if Alex is still listening, he's always like, literally, you would love this. You would love this. When we hang out in San Diego, you'll love this because every night at dinner, if he's making dinner, he's like, do you want a salad? And it's like such a loaded question. He knows I don't want a salad, but you know, sometimes I will take one. And listen, I don't hate vegetables, guys. Okay. I just don't love them. And I just don't think I need a lot of them all the time. If I'm in the mood, great. If I feel like a vegetable, fine. But half the time he's like, you want a salad? I'm like, no, I don't want a salad anyway. And then I get these results that are like, your plant-based antioxidants are fine. And I'm like, I know. Okay. So moving on. I know. Okay. I just wanted to see, I'm going to just scroll through quickly because there were a couple things that I thought were kind of interesting. Obviously, all of the like, it has this whole breakdown of like micronutrients and things. And, you know, some of these are more important than others. Like it's telling me I'm kind of like in the yellow for magnesium, which I think is kind of interesting considering I supplement with magnesium, which leads me to believe that I guess people just have like a really maybe high need for it. And I don't know, maybe there's something in my...
We're like switching up the type, because there's so many different types of magnesium. So switching up the different sources that you're getting them from to help with more bioavailability and absorption and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also it's telling me I probably need a bit more omega-3s, which I will allow for that. I do eat a fair bit of like good fish, like fatty fish. Like I eat salmon and sardines and oysters and stuff like that. But maybe I need to kind of just up the balance of it. Because again, it's not so much I don't have any. It's probably that I just have so much more omega-6, right? I just need to like fix that balance. So like that's something that's, you know, good to know. It'll just make me kind of think a little bit more. Maybe I need to get more like walnuts and salmon in my life. I was really happy that all the microbiome and digestive support stuff was really good. So that makes me happy. The mitochondrial stuff was all really good, which again, I was kind of surprised about because I remember, I feel like I took a test like a decade ago. You know, that thing that tells you if you're like telomeres are good. Do you know about this? Like the telomere aging thing. And again, I don't know if it was like a complete BS test, but it was basically like, you're dead, you're dying already. And I was just like, what? I'm like, I'm young
and healthy. If it's a decade ago, probably it's, again, like, because this stuff, every single year, these different tests are improving in technology. So it was probably a lot. There's probably a lot of false negatives and stuff like that. I'm just assuming if it was so long ago.
Yes. So anyway, that makes me feel better because it's, you know, mitochondrial dysfunction can contribute to some things, some like neurological disorders that could be kind of scary, and nutritional deficiencies can sort of impair this stuff. Do you know much about methylation?
A little bit. Not like, I know that some, like, it's been kind of like a newer phenomenon type thing over the last few years, where there's some people who have a gene that they're like not able to basically absorb certain, specifically B vitamins are usually the higher thing, because they either they don't have this gene, or it's like something deficient about it. I don't know if it's exactly a gene. Don't quote me on that. But they can't methylate specific things. So taking methylated vitamins that are methylated already, they're able to be more absorbed.
Yeah.
It's, I that mean, was it's, a very rough way of explaining that. So
it is kind of like a technical thing that I think is probably beyond like the need for most people, including myself, to really like deeply understand. If you guys are listening and you're like, actually, I'm really interested in this, let us know. And we can kind of either get somebody on or we can do more of a deep dive. But the basic kind of premise is that it's sort of, it has to do with DNA, like genetic expression. And if you aren't methylating well, you know, gene expression can be turned off in some cases. And there can just be like a host of poor side effects, which again, some of these side effects, like it talks about like depression and anxiety and insomnia and like low libido and all these things. And it's just like, who in the world would have these symptoms and be like, probably I'm not methylating. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's so many other things. So it's just like, it's like this next level kind of thing that most people aren't going to really think about. But I just thought it was interesting that they included it. And I'm good to go on that too. So long story short, that's good. Yeah.
And that's cool that this test, I was just gonna say, that's cool that you can, this test can show you that or give you like a, an insight into that. Again, it's kind of like that. Like you said, the next level.
Right.
So,
One area again that it is telling me, and I, you know, I will listen to this and I will probably make some slight changes here, is that I'm in the yellow, not great for toxic exposure, which again, I kind of am surprised by. Like I live in the country, I have like the freshest air in the world. But it's things like, you know, I'm drinking coffee out of a to-go cup probably more than I need to. I'm probably handling, holding, using more plastics than I need to. Who knows, right? Like, again, I'm not somebody who goes super hard in the paint on these things in terms of like getting rid of anything that could be toxic. But I think that there is benefit to just sort of auditing your life sometimes with things like this, because there's so many things, especially women, because we tend to just like use more products and like use more things on our body and on our skin and our hair and makeup and all that stuff that we're not necessarily thinking about. And it's stuff that you can fix, you can be mindful of, and like little things could maybe make a big difference. If you got rid of like all the plastic Tupperware in your house and replaced it with glass, if you stopped like using to-go cups every single day, like we know those things are like lined with weird chemical stuff that's probably leaching into your coffee and stuff like that. Like it's not stuff to be overly terrified, keep you up at night, but it's also easy things to fix, right? So anyway, that was one area that it was like, you should probably look at this. And I'm like, okay, I will. So anyway,
I feel like most people in, especially America, are probably in the yellow, no matter how healthy you are. And it's, again, it, like you said, it's just like trying to find those little things, like bringing this back to the beginning of the podcast, like those lifestyle changes. I haven't had plastic Tupperware in my cabinet in 5 years, but prior to that, all of my Tupperware was plastic. Like, you know, and it's, so I just made that one change. And then you make the other change, like the shampoo and conditioner or the toothpaste that you're using, you know, all the things, right? But it doesn't have to be like, put yourself in a box and like literally don't breathe the air, right? Your water filter, right? Changing that up or getting a better one or whatever. Like there's so many little things that you can do that will then just be part of your life that you don't even think about. And that's the things that we're talking about.
Yes. So anyway, it basically told me some interesting things that I'm going to pay attention to. It told me some things that made me feel good about what I was doing. Like at the end of the day, pretty much every, again, vitamin, nutrient, mineral, whatever that was there was like, you're doing great, which I think is a testament to eating a nutrient-dense diet and paying attention and not eating like anti-nutrients a lot. So great. Pat me on the back there. But it's just cool. It's just cool stuff to look into. And like we've said from the beginning with Genova, who has kindly sponsored this podcast and is helping us out and let us try these things and let us learn so we could pass this on to you. These are not things you necessarily have to do for your health. This is for people who want to take an extra sort of deep dive, who like to nerd out on stuff like this, who maybe aren't getting the support elsewhere to find out these things. You can take some of this into your own hands and advocate for yourself and do a little extra research and pay to have this stuff. You could do it yourself and have it sent directly to you, right? Like it's cool that we are in an age where you can kind of take some control over this stuff. So if you're interested, there's a ton of different tests. Like I did this one. You did
the GI gut health effects. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that a few episodes ago.
There's probably a dozen different tests that, you know, there's a bunch of different ones you can do. Mm-hmm. And basically they said, you know, they've given us a discount code. So MSW10 will give you 10% off any of the tests that you want to take. Their website is gdx.net. And if you have any questions, I mean, their website obviously walks through everything. They have like video tutorials. They talk about how different ways you can pay for the test, all this stuff. But if you have any other questions that you think we could answer, you can send us a note at our email, which is muscle science for women, the number 4, at gmail.com. Oh, there goes my microphone. Reached down my shirt there for a second. Don't worry about it. If you're watching on YouTube, you get to see the fun stuff.
Oh, anyway, no.
Anyway, my shirt's still on.
We should have done this in the beginning so you get more viewers.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Genova, thank you. It's been a fun experiment. Go check them out, gdx.net. The code is MSW10. And that's that. What else do you want to talk about? I think we're like running out of time for this episode already.
We're almost done, but I do want to mention that it's getting a little bit warmer in San Diego, and not that this has stopped me in the past, because I will still be eating my protein ice cream when 10-degree weather, but I have now been eating my protein ice cream. I have it now as more of an afternoon snack. I used to have it dessert. I kind of go back and forth, but lately I've been having it as an afternoon snack and sitting out on my porch like around 4 o'clock. Sitting out on my porch in the sun, eating my protein ice cream.
Love that.
It's just amazing. I'm, you know, there's just nothing like
it. Living the life.
And yeah. And so we do actually have an exciting announcement for everybody who's been listening and who has used one of the protein powders that we recommend, Active Stacks.
Right.
Very good chocolate protein. We've been using their, I know you've been using their collagen lately, right? Mm-hmm. They've been out of the beef protein, the original one that they had for a long time, for a few months. And we are happy to announce that they are back in stock. So everybody who's been waiting to hear, the Active Stacks, the chocolate beef protein is back in stock. Vanilla is still, they're still waiting on that. The collagen will still be in stock. The vanilla and chocolate collagen will still be in stock. But now this is my favorite chocolate protein powder. And
me too.
You know, it's mostly because of the ingredients and the taste. Like this chocolate protein powder, I just have not found a taste and a texture for the Ninja Creami that compares to the chocolate that you get from Active Stacks. So
yeah, and I know a lot of people were asking about it because the collagen, like the collagen products, to me they taste the same as the beef protein ones. Like they're still delicious. They still have very similar ingredients, but you know, collagen isn't a complete protein, and some people want more than just the collagen. Totally get that. So they were kind of like, I feel like back ordered for a long time. And I know a lot of people were asking about it. So you can still get both though, right? Like you can get the collagen too, if you
want. Yeah, you can get both. The collagen, I will say though, like it's not, the texture is not the same in the Ninja Creami. So if you have, like if you're coming into this, you got a Ninja Creami in the last few months and you're using Active Stacks collagen powder, unless you're using like whole milk and things like that and other stuff that will give you the more of the texture, like you can totally do that too and that will work. But the beef protein, the texture of that, if you're using like unsweetened nut milk and you want to keep it the calories lower on that side of things, the texture is just, there's just nothing that compares in my opinion from the different types that I've tried. So
yeah. Yeah. We've gotten a lot of people on Active Stacks because it really is one of those products that like when you try it, especially because I know so many people who really have a hard time with protein powder, which again, as a lifelong meathead, I have just been like crushing protein powder and like protein powder, desserts and treats for so long. Like I don't, you know, it doesn't even faze me. Like I just put protein powder in basically everything. Cause why not? But I do have like a lot of clients and just like a lot of friends and stuff who are like, ugh, protein powder, yucky. And I'm like, okay, well you just haven't tried the right one yet. Cause this stuff is like literally like cocoa powder. So anyway,
it's great for hot chocolate too.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to try it, we do have a code. It is also MSW10 and you can get a little discount and get really, really good protein powder. So you should do it. My sister the other day, she was telling me about her protein shakes and she was like, yeah, I just really don't like them. I have to kind of like choke it down, but I know it's good for me, blah, blah. I'm like, what are you putting in this? Doesn't she pull out a vegan protein powder? I'm like, here's your problem. I'm like, first of all, how are you related to me? Second of all, vegan protein. Guys, I'm sorry.
We might have to have an episode on this because there, I agree. And I also have better options.
But
we're not going to talk about that.
Okay, yeah. Save that for another episode. And before we do, you have to tell me what they are and I'm going to do a taste test because this is one area. I know I'm biased. Obviously, I am pro meat. I'm pro animal products. But when it comes to like treats, sweets, protein, like baked goods, whatever, if it tastes good, I do not care if it's vegan, okay? I will not degrade your vegan options if they taste good. And every vegan protein powder tastes like disgusting to me. So if you can find one that isn't disgusting, I will admit it and I will try it.
Let's have let's record an episode soon all about plant-based protein powders.
Love it. Love it. All right, guys,
did we say the discount code for Active Stacks? And the link is in the description. So you can just link there.
MSW10.
Yeah. And maybe on the next episode, Ashley will drop the microphone down her
beginning. I'll just start with it down there and we'll just see if
I just say bosom?
This is continuing your record of speaking like a 78-year-old man on the podcast, which I love. I love that, honestly. I oodles of bosoms on this podcast. All right, we got to get out of here. It's going downhill. Thank you for listening. See you next week.